You're listening to the Mets Blog Q&A Cast, presented by Citi, your podcast for one-on-one Mets conversations.
What's up, Mets fans? I'm Matt Cerrone. Thanks for listening to the Mets Blog Q&A Cast, presented by Citi. Mets home runs go a lot further than you think. For every Mets home run hit at Citi Field this season, Citi will donate $2,000 to No Kid Hungry to help fight childhood hunger. Every dollar donated provides 10 healthy meals for kids. Last season, the Citi Community Home Runs program raised over $170,000. To learn more about it, go to Mets.com/Citi. This week, I'm talking with my childhood hero, Howard Johnson. I love this guy as a kid. It's why I wore number 20. I've talked about that before. Always fun being able to catch up with him. I'm glad that he got back to me. I've been wanting to talk with him a little while about coaching and hitting coaches and situational hitting and why some of these young guys get to the big leagues and don't seem to really have a grasp on, you know, how to play small ball and how to do the little things like that. And we're seeing that obviously as Mets fans, we're seeing that with the big league team. So I thought Hojo would be a great guy to get in touch with. He could speak from the player point of view, the coach point of view, from a New York Mets point of view, having played here and coached here. So thought it'd be great to get him on with that. Let me stop rambling. I will say this. The quality of the call is not so great for whatever reason. My audio recorded at the same level as the phone call, so bear with that. But the content of the conversation is terrific. I hope you really enjoy it. Like I said, with that, here's my conversation with Howard Johnson.
So I guess right out of the gate, I mean, what have you been up to? What's going on in the life of Howard Johnson?
Well, this year I've been managing the high A team and the Texas Rangers organization. Now we're in the Cal League, and we are about 25 games left or so, something like that. And we won the first half, so we're in the postseason, we're in the playoffs. And we're just getting through the second half here, kind of getting everything, our ducks in a row, getting ready for the postseason.
That's awesome. I talked, it's funny, I just like back-to-back conversations with a former manager, big league manager, and then a current high school coach. And it was interesting to me how they were talking about the game in almost the same way. Because at the end of the day, it's baseball, right? So from your experience doing what you're doing now versus being a hitting coach versus a player and everything, I mean, what are sort of the differences between working with guys at that level with, say, working with guys in the big leagues? Or is it kind of all the same?
No, it's not all the same. There's definitely a difference. I mean, there's a huge difference in how you deal with players, how you work with them from a, I'd say from double A on down, or even you could even say high A, the level that I'm at on down. I think you have to treat guys a little bit differently as far as, you know, what your expectations are, what the organization's expectations are, the little things that need to be taken care of so that guys can move up. You know, you have your prospects and you have guys that, you know, the organization thinks highly of. So, you know, you try to really focus on those guys and make sure that the little things are, you know, taken care of, the little pitfalls that you see maybe headed down the road. And that's the part of what I do with my major league experience has helped, because I can kind of see exactly, okay, what are these guys doing now that could develop into a good thing or a bad thing, you know, down the road potentially. So it's kind of helped me, you know, deal with a lot of these younger kids, and it's been fun. You know, the difference is in the big leagues, you've got more of a finished product. When you get to AAA, you've got your top prospects, but you've got a lot of older guys that are kind of transitioning in and out of the major leagues. Some of them are going to be stuck in AAA. Some of them are going to get a chance to help a team in the major leagues or somebody else. It's just a different atmosphere, but major league guys are more polished.
Yeah. You get these guys young. What's the thing you see over and over again that you find that you're always having to sort of, you know, guard against, either correct or kind of keep them on a particular path? What do you see a lot?
I think, well, it's mainly just you can't assume that they know how to play the game the right way all the time. And, you know, you'll see problems in the major leagues also, but, you know, in the minor leagues, I think you've got guys, you know, still trying to establish themselves, what they are. Are they a prospect? Are they not? You know, sometimes they don't understand that, you know, you play the game a certain way. the scoreboard dictates a lot of how you play the game, and that's part of the job that we have is kind of refining those things. And when I see a lot of guys today, it's just a matter. It's a lot of communication. It's a lot of, things happen in the game, helping those guys understand, what they did right or what they did wrong, depending on what it was. Also, the biggest thing I would say, though, Matt, is how they prepare to play the game. There's a huge difference between how guys in low A, rookie league, not so much in high, but lower levels and where I'm at, how they prepare to play the game. It's much more focused on certain things. And in the lower levels, you're dealing with almost the entire aspect of the game. So every detail you kind of want to watch and you want to try to teach. And then as you get older, they kind of understand the detail. Now it's like a, focus in on just a few things, whether it's, going down pregame, getting your work in the cage, working on your fundamentals, and boom, getting out instead of like going in there and spending all day in a batting cage and, wearing yourself out and then trying to play a game. Or taking, 100 ground balls at shortstop and making, 20, 30 throws as opposed to maybe taking 20, 25 very good quality ground balls and making, half a dozen or a dozen really strong throws and being done there. And it's taking your work and then just kind of tapering it off so that by the time the game starts, you're ready to play.
I think the thing that drives fans crazy, we're home, we're watching the game, and you see, for instance, a big league veteran, they're playing the shift against them. And we're all screaming, drop down a bunt. But then you always hear just sort of this notion, they haven't done that in years or what. I guess the question is why we always sort of feel like there's this expectation that everybody should be able to do these sort of little things, the fundamentals, to get big league hitters that just don't bunt well and they just don't do certain things well. Does that frustrate you as a coach, as a former player? You get kind of a different era too. I mean, you come from a different era. So, I mean, what do you make of that? I don't really know what my question is. I think I'm just venting a little bit because it is kind of frustrating when you watch guys that you expect them to sort of know these skills and they don't have them. And why do you think that is?
No, it's a good question. I totally understand your frustration because as a coach, I watch games and I see the same things. And there's a couple of ways to look at this. Number one, I would say in today's game, bunting and stealing and, creating runs and base runners, other than the walk that everybody wants to, heap praise on. But, guys are kind of loath, to play that small ball and take away from, one of their strengths, and that's one of the things that, as a manager or as a coach, whatever, we're trying to develop players, in every aspect. We don't know exactly yet what they're going to be, but every player has got his strengths and he's got his weaknesses. One thing I've always told guys is that you want to work on your strengths so they never leave you, but work harder on your weaknesses to try to be more well-rounded. Because in baseball, you get known for what you can't do. It's not what you can do so much as what you can't do, right? And a lot of guys come up and, you could take any player you want, especially if it's a fairly older guy that's got a major league experience and you're going to ask him to bunt. And, a lot of times these guys have never been asked to bunt before. It depends on the situation in the game, people don't have the managers, I guess, and teams don't have the expectations of those guys to want to do that. And when they don't want to do it, they're not going to be good at it. So you have to, and they don't pay guys to bunt. That's
right. That probably is the real answer. I mean,
that's what it comes down to.
It's a skill-based thing. Yeah, it's interesting.
Some of those things take a back seat. There's no doubt about it.
It sometimes feels like there's a little bit of a push and pull, and it's just sort of as an organization, obviously you want to have the most talented, the most skillful players, guys that do certain things completely off the charts, and that's your goal, and that's how you get the big. But when it comes to winning, you know, over the course of the marathon, a lot of times the games come down to the little things. They come down to situational hitting and come down to that small ball style. And so from speaking for me as a person who writes about and talks about the Mets, you know, we've all season have been watching a team that has not been very good in situational moments. They may lead the league in home runs, but they're all one-run home runs. They're not moving guys along, and it's been really poor situational hitting. And so how does that how can you sort of encourage I guess what I'm saying is it's got to be hard to change habits, obviously, of guys that have been doing it a certain way for so long. So is it more of a mindset, or is it less mechanical and just more buying into a way? I think of the Royals. I think of some of these other teams. They sort of have a way about hitting. Everybody kind of buys into it. So is it more mental, or is it more physical, those things?
Well, I would say it's both. I mean, for me, with runners in scoring position, that's the most important at bat of the night.
Sure.
It's more important than any other at bat because it's gonna produce a run or it's not. Okay, it's gonna advance the process or it's not. A lot of times games are won and lost because of that. First of all, in the big league game, it's a mental approach. It starts with mental approach. It can be physical, but for the most part, it's a mental approach. And the analogy I like to use with guys is I say, look, a golfer, a guy goes out and plays golf, right? When he's on the tee box, he uses his driver. When he's on the green, around the green, he uses his pitching wedge. When he's on the green, he's using his putter. You have to be able to use all those clubs if you're going to be successful in golf. And in baseball, you can't take the driver up there with a runner in scoring position when what's required is more of a pitching wedge or a putter, something that you need to be able to control more than just, you know, going up there and bang, letting it go. And you have to work on those things. You have to be a different kind of hitter. I don't care if guys – listen, if you're going to have a guy that's up there as a big home run guy, fine. He's going to strike out two or three times a game. You know, so be it. But there's going to be that one at bat where there's a guy in third base less than two outs or a runner in scoring position where he has to become a different hitter. He has to become the guy with the seven iron in his hand instead of the driver. He's got to become a different guy. I don't care. The guys are going to strike out. It's just part of the game nowadays. But there's certain times in a ball game where it's unacceptable that you go up there and take the same approach and strike out. So, yeah, that's a mental and a physical element to those things that have to be addressed.
Yeah, I'm talking with Howard Johnson, former Mets hitting coach, former third baseman, now coaching in the minor leagues with the Texas Rangers. Do you spend a lot of time watching the big league team?
Yeah, we watch the big league team when it's on.
Cool.
Usually the Ranger game is on in our locker room, so we're watching it. They got a very well-rounded team that does a lot of little things well, and they're a very tough team. So I think what they did last year, they came from deep in the standings to win the West. I think that said a lot about their confidence. I know that Banny does a nice job with those guys in the locker room.
Good. So do you, of all the guys you've worked with, not played with, but guys that you've worked with, that you've been in the cage with, you've sat over their shoulder, who's the most talented, you know, just naturally gifted, pure hitter that you have the privilege of working with over your career?
I'd like to say Robbie Cano is probably the number one guy as far as like pure hitting ability. Just a guy that can put the ball on anywhere in the field that when he wants to, he can do it. No fear starts with that. There's no fear. It doesn't matter if it's lefty or righty. He can adjust to different situations. He goes through his spells where it's not always good, but from a pure hitting standpoint, that's the guy that I'd say that I've worked with. It's probably one of the best guys.
In regard to the job of hitting coach, obviously it's one of those things where when the team's hitting well, no one thinks about you. And when the team's not hitting well, you're probably the first person in everybody's mind. So, I mean, what do you think is the part of the job that most fans don't really understand?
I would say that, first of all, the hours that guys spend, that hitting coaches spend watching video and trying to help players prepare for the game that night. When I was a hitting coach in the major leagues, there was a physical aspect to it where you're watching guys. The job really is, Matt, is to know your players so well that when things are going good, you know what that looks like. And when things start to go bad, not when they are bad, but when they start to go bad, you know what that looks like. That you can identify the pieces or the parts that maybe not quite right, that you can communicate that to the guy and say, hey, look, I'm noticing this, just give you a heads up. That's the stuff you do, like, mostly off the field, in the cages, that stuff. During the game, it's preparing guys for the game, for the at-bat. Who are we facing? Who's coming in to pitch? Who's going to be the guy in the bullpen? How are they getting left-handers out? How are they getting right-handers out? What do they do when there's two strikes? How do they try to get ahead of you? Those are the tendencies that you get a real feel for. Once you know your own personnel and you know the pitching that's out there, you start to get a real feel for what's going on. That's the fun part of it. The bad part about it is when guys are struggling, as a hitting coach, I would tell players all the time, look, when you guys are out there, I'm out there with you. My mind is in the box with you. When you struggle, I struggle. And there's always going to be guys that are struggling. Even if the team gets 15 or 20 hits in a night, there's going to be one or two guys that didn't have a good night. So those are the guys you think about. And you just try to minimize the damage and get guys ready to play that night and compete. And that's all you can do as a coach.
Cool. So, before I let you go, you're back in the minor league system. Is the plan here for you to kind of go through the grind and work your way back up? You want to get back into the big leagues? Is that the end game?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I definitely want to be back in the big leagues, and I will one of these days. Whether it's a hitting coach job or third base or bench job or a manager job at some point. I'm excited about managing this year because it's different. It gives me an opportunity to use a lot of the things that I've learned over the years as a coach that I've observed in the minor leagues and in the major leagues to try to implement some of those things and see how they work. And you trial and error, and there's a lot of things that go into it that as a hitting guy, you don't really have to deal with as much, but I enjoy it. And so it's kind of helping me, fill out my resume, so to speak, just, understand a different part of the game, a different way to enjoy the game, to coach the game. And it's been fun. It's really been fun, Matt. I enjoy working with the young guys. At some point, big leagues are definitely what I need to get back to.
Well, listen, I know you're with a different organization. I know there are plenty of Mets fans who love to see you and Wally back in the big league coaching staff. So, just know that you got a lot of fans here and everybody's wishing you the best of luck.
Well, I appreciate that, Matt. I definitely hope one day that's a possibility, and looking forward to that day for sure. So I'm pulling for the Mets always, and I hope that they get some things straightened out and make a run here and keep it close.
Yeah, we'll see. It's been one heck of a season. It's crazy. I think about some of the older teams too. I think at 86, you guys come off that World Series, and there's all these expectations. Expectations are a tricky thing, and you get a young team like this. Had all of us worried, coming out of that World Series that, you never know how this is, you take it for granted. You think it's always going to continue, and it doesn't always, and that adversity is tricky. And I think that's what we're seeing with them,
Well, that's the norm. It's very difficult for, you talk about the Royals. They won last year, the year before they got to the postseason and got beat in the World Series. This year, they're struggling. It's something that you just can't ever assume that you have it under control. I got this thing. I've got to figure it out, because that's not the case. Listen, a lot of things have to happen, good and bad, and break your way for you to get to the playoffs. And a lot of things happened. When they got Cespedes, they kind of went away from their offensive model a little bit and got Cespedes. And, I thought that was a great move. Obviously you get a guy with power that can do a lot of things on the field. This year, he's been hurt. They've had some injuries. You can't expect guys to just be the same every year. DeGrom has been just okay this year, last couple of years. and I saw him in the minor leagues, and I knew he was going to be good. You know, Harvey, you got all these guys. There's no guarantee. Next year it'll be Syndergaard. It'll be somebody else that, you know, it's going to go through it. You just can't assume that once these guys are there that it's always going to be come up roses. It's not. It's a grind, and the bottom can fall at any time.
As a player, do you, you know, I know that you're the goal is to focus on the moment, focus on the game, and not necessarily worry about the story of the season. But do you, as a player, I mean, again, I go back to some of those late 80s seasons. You know, I mean, can you sort of feel the momentum, the inertia of the season sort of spinning away or getting away from you, or do you not worry about that? Do you really have the discipline to focus on the moment in the game?
Well, no, I think as a human being, I mean, it's easy to get caught up in the momentum of the season, either going good or bad. And, you know,
especially in New York.
Bad, especially in New York. I mean, when things are going bad, I mean, it's the end of the world. And when things are good, it's the top of the world. I mean, you've got everything. And, you know, the mistake that a lot of fans make, and, you know, I think most part players understand it, that every year is different. And I used to tell guys a lot. I used to tell Murphy when Murphy came up. Murphy came up and, you know, he did very, very well. And then his deal in the cage. He'd come in the cage and want to hit off the tee like 300, take 300 swings a day off the tee.
Yeah, I remember that.
I used to tell Murph, I said, you're going to kill yourself doing that. You can't keep going and do this the rest of your career. You're going to die. And I told him, I said, you know, we have to figure out a way to get this down because we need you to play a whole season, not just, you know, because you can get so locked into the moment that you're trying to find that one thing that you miss everything else. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, if you just step away from it and just go up there and let your ability take over, when you're that talented, that usually works. And I remember with Murph, he would talk about one year being, you know, he felt great. The next year he didn't, and he's trying to find it. And this and that. Going, well, look, I said, Murph, look at it this way. I said, you see that guy over there? That's Chipper Jones. Last year he hit 380, and this year he's hitting 290. Did he forget how to hit from last year to this year? And he said, no, it's Chipper Jones. I said, exactly. I said, the only difference is the calendar. It's a different year. Everybody's going to make adjustments. Everybody's going to have a year where things are falling into place. And everybody's going to have a year when things don't fall into place. You know, maybe the ball doesn't bounce your way a few times. You just never know. It's never the same. That's why you can't rely on statistics, because 100%, because stats tell you what's happened. It doesn't predict what's going to happen. You can have, you know what I mean? There's no guarantee to it. And that's the whole thing with it, is you have to couch stats and be careful how you use them, because if you overdo it, you can really, really, you know, set yourself back.
Yeah, and somebody say, you know, to put it very bluntly, there's no stat category for whether you have a hangover or not. Like, there's certain human elements that just can't factor in. You know, it's just the way it is. You know, they're human beings.
Yeah, you can't factor it in. You know, every year you get a little bit older. I mean, you got different issues physically, mentally. I mean, another team's going to come in there. They're going to have a new pitcher that you haven't seen, or some young phenom's going to come up and he's going to stick the bats up you know what, and it's going to happen. And there's nothing you can do about it. That's just the nature of the game. The game continues to move on. Okay, we're playing it, we're coaching it, we're managing it, whatever. But it's going to be different all the time. There's no guarantee. You know, once you feel like you have it, that you're going to have it the rest of your career, because you can't. There's no explanation that makes sense for a guy hitting 390 one year, 380, and then 290 the next year. It just doesn't make any sense. People can't wrap their heads around that. You know, so that's the battle that players have, especially young players, understanding that, you know, success one year, success today doesn't guarantee success tomorrow or next year.
I would think for the younger player, it's even more difficult too. I mean, because a lot of these kids, and you're seeing this now, I mean, a lot of them, I'm sure, come in, you know, the best player on their team. They grew up, you know, bigger, faster, you know, and now they come in and now they have to compete on a different level, and so on as they move up. And I always hear that all the time. Well, you know, I think it was with Conforto last year when they brought him up, I remember people saying, well, he hasn't, you know, just watch out because he hasn't failed yet. Like, he hasn't had to do that, you know, and that whole other mentality of being able to kind of regroup and fire yourself back up that way. And if you've never experienced it, let alone experience it for the first time in the big leagues, I can't imagine that's easy.
Yeah, you're going to get humbled quick. This game will humble you in a heartbeat. And at some point, you're going to fail. There's going to be a year where you're going to struggle, and it's going to be hard, and you're going to think, oh, what am I doing? And that kind of happened to him this year. And, you know, when that's the risk you run. When you run a guy through the minor leagues that hasn't had, you know, any real failure to deal with or adversity, you know, they could have some success, but eventually it's going to catch up to you. You just can't go up there and impose your will on everybody and say, oh, I've always been a good hitter. I'm going to continue to always be a good hitter. Yeah, you are a good hitter, but guess what? There's good pitching out there too, and they will make you look bad.
Again, that was former Mets player and coach Howard Johnson, who's now in the coaching with the minor league system for the Texas Rangers. Thanks again for listening to the Mets Blog Q&A Cast presented by Citi. Citi card members receive up to $10 off per ticket with Citi Perks when you use their Citi card to purchase tickets for Sunday Mets home games. To learn more about it and to purchase tickets, go to Mets.com/Citi. Thanks again to Hojo. Always great catching up with him. Glad he's doing well in the Texas farm system. I would love to see him make his way back through the system, either get to the big leagues with Texas or with a different organization, maybe even back here with the Mets. That would be awesome too. So good for him. Hopefully things can go similarly well and progress for the New York Mets, who haven't been playing so hot of late. Hopefully next week brings a little bit turn of events here and gets things going, and gets us back to, I hate to say this, but meaningful baseball in September, and even more importantly, successful and meaningful baseball in October. So with that, thanks for listening. We'll be back again next week with another Q&A cast. Thanks again, and as always, let's go Mets.
This has been the Mets Blog Q&A cast, presented by Citi, part of the SNY.TV audio network.